to the Recruitment Roundup with Toby and Nadia of Harrington Star. This is our one podcast a week where we talk about us and our passion for great recruitment, because 5 days a week we shine a light on the individuals making waves in the world of fintech. So on a Sunday, we bring you the Recruitment Roundup. And this week, we're going to be talking about the wow factor. Lots of really wow things have happened this week. Today, as we record, just returned from Money 2020. And when Toby said to me, "Nads, what did Money 2020 mean for you?" I said, wow, it was the wow factor. So that is why we're talking about it today, because actually...
I saw the, sorry to cut in, I saw the images from that all over social media, and look, I've come back from TradeTech, I've done a fair few conferences this year. That one at Money 2020 in Amsterdam looked absolutely phenomenal. How the stands were set up, the whole staging, the detail, it was at a different level. And I looked at it, I was wowed from LinkedIn. You were there live. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, it was super exciting, and it really represented diversity of thought. I think that was the key thing that they wanted to get across. Diversity of thought, diversity of perspective, and showcasing that in an event that people wouldn't necessarily associate different perspectives in, because ultimately Money 2020 started off as a trade show. That's where it started, where a number of the other events started. So it started off as vendors wanting to sell and sell their businesses. It's now become an event where people go to learn, to receive mentorship, to listen to their peers, their colleagues across the industry and people from outside the industry, so that they can be inspired and they can be challenged. And the challenge piece was the bit that I was super interested in. So I was a moderator for one of the speaking events. I moderated a panel which was called The Great Resignation, or Is It? And it was a debate around essentially what companies can do to try and slow down the Great Resignation, slow down their loss of staff, retain their people, preserve that talent, cultivate the future of that talent. But wow, the people I had on stage, their opinions were so conflicting. But that's what was so interesting about what Money 2020 was about, because first of all, our stage was called The Exchange. So when I first walked in there, the whole place was completely dark. I couldn't even see how many seats were in there. When the lights were switched on, it turned into almost like a sort of matrix style, white, clean, clinical room with nothing in there apart from these white, clean chairs, everything white. Like you felt like you were in some sort of movie. Before any of the attendees were allowed in, this white room turned into flashing, pulsing, red room of a 5 minute countdown to our talk. And one of the panelists, the CEO Ali of Rolly, he said, "Oh, it's like Squid Games," and it really felt like it was. So the whole room really loud, doof, 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 and it was the countdown for our talk. And when all the lights came up, we walked onto the stage and I introduced our panelists, and it was so interesting because the host of that room, as everybody walked in, said, "You will all find underneath your seats a little pocket, and your phone needs to go into that pocket and be completely closed, because this is a safe space. If you don't like it and you don't want to be without your phone for the next 45 minutes, you can leave," right? This is how it was, which I was like, wow, you know, that's new, that's interesting. But what it meant was that every time I looked to the audience to tell them about the next suite of questions or the next part of the debate that we were going into, for the first time in ever of me being at any of the events and talking and speaking to large groups of people, for the first time ever, I had every single pair of eyes looking back at me. So yeah, what they were trying to achieve, they did. Plus, what they wanted in that particular stage was for people to feel safe to share things that they wouldn't normally share. Because at these events, as you know, Toby, you've got media and press everywhere, and you've got the media partners and marketing people for each of the people on stage sort of standing there saying, "Careful what you say, careful what you say, and make sure it's in line with exactly how we want to project ourselves." What ended up happening with our panelists is that they let rip, for want of a better term. I really heard everything about some of these companies and what they're doing, and did I agree with all of it? Most definitely not. But there was a lot that really challenged me and challenged my way of thinking. And it was super interesting for me, because I kind of felt a bit stunned afterwards because it was so raw, the debate. It was the rawest debate I've been involved in, but also the most thought-provoking, because we were talking about how do we invest in people? What's the right way of doing it? What's the right way of communicating with people? How do you get them to tell you the truth so that you can then do something within the business? What options can you give them? And what was really fascinating to me is if we roll forward 6 hours, I then had the opportunity to speak with the Chief Strategy and Growth Officer of Money 2020. I spoke with her within the Money 2020 official pod booth, and we recorded a podcast, which was really exciting. She has also written a book that's just been published called Embedded Finance, When Payments Become an Experience. And she was talking about why they set up the whole event like this, to have a wow factor, to have different stages that were trying to get different things for different people, because you never know who your audience is going to be, especially at events like this that began at trade shows, that began as B2B and are now B2C. So the whole experience was really eye-opening, and there's so much for me to take away from it, but also just the whole staging of everything. Every single stage was different. Mm. When you walk in...
But not even only the stages, the booths as well. The booths were extraordinary, weren't they?
Yeah, like I took loads of selfies, you'll see them, with all the booths that I went and had chats with people on. And it was, yeah, it was incredible. You know, some of them were jungle scenes. Some of them were like underground sort of images. There were tunnels that you had to walk through. It was really, really eye-catching, memorable, and... you know, just a dream for social media.
Yeah.
Like an absolute dream. But what Scarlett was saying was that this is how they planned it. They wanted people to be shocked. And she says that shock isn't necessarily always good. It can be bad, and you can't be afraid of that. And that's why when you said, oh, tell us about Money 2020, I paused for a minute and I said diversity of thought, because having processed it, that's actually what they're really going for. Now, I haven't read her book yet, but I did pick it up. And, you know, When Payments Become an Experience, Scarlett, who co-wrote it with Sophie Guibard, but they've written it together and they officially launched it with Money 2020. And what Scarlett was saying about it is that people's perception of financial services is still sort of old, boring tax and accounting. And not really dry, when actually look at this place, look at how vibrant, engaging, dynamic, innovative. It's just, you know, so super, super exciting. And I'm really looking forward to reading this book, because she is talking about technology being an experience. And I think that with our mission, yeah, what we're trying to do at Harrington Star, it isn't just put bums on seats and place people. It's about attracting people to this industry so that they can become the best that they ever could be within this industry and help propel this industry forward. And how do we attract those people that wouldn't have normally thought of us? On top of that, how do we retain the wonderful people we have in the financial technology space already? And, you know, I hate the word retain, and actually it's about preservation, cultivation, investing in people. But that is an experience, right? So, in all, definitely wow factor and a lot of food for thought. And I hope I've encapsulated that in my
two. Yeah, it looks incredible. I want to just touch, though, on your panel itself, because I think it's a really interesting topic. If you were to give two or three takeaways from that panel on that subject, which is one which I know that people want to hear about, tell me what the main takeaways. As you said, there's things that you agreed with, there's things that you didn't agree with. What would be the bullet points if you were to summarize that talk?
So,
what you got for us?
One thing that Ali of Rolly said, he said, when we talk about remote working, you think I mean sitting on your bed working from home. He said, I've never worked from my house, but I work remote. So he's got different locations that he goes to work. But one of the best things that I heard him say is he went through it in great detail. Be transparent with your staff. If you're not all together, whether it's one meeting or whether it's that you are fully remote as a company, if you're not all together, everything should be logged and noted down in every single meeting you do. And whoever's come up with whatever idea, you all need to agree that the notes of that meeting are correct. So you can imagine with everything that I talk about, with the correct attribution of credit and what that means to somebody's feeling of loyalty, engagement, and commitment to a company. This was just, you know, music to my ears. We then had Travers, who's the chief of marketing at Thought Machine, who is on the other side, doesn't believe in remote working. They're all about getting people to the office. One of the policies that they have implemented is you get to choose whether you want to be in the office 5 days a week or 3 days a week, and your pay will be reflective of that. He went through exactly how you need to be continually communicating to your team, whether they're with you or not, but that communication needs to be really like priority. We then had Hartej, who runs a company called Zokio. He is all about going across the entire globe for your talent. He erases the you know when we're all talking about skills shortage, he's like, stop saying skills shortage, just stop it. So he said, just stop it, go and find stop those it. skills. Yeah, you know, and he said, look, I've got somebody in Mumbai, I've got somebody in Russia, I lived in Ukraine for the past 5 years, but I'm not going to talk about that right now, that'll derail us. And then, you know, he went on and on and on about, you have a pool of talent worldwide, but you are restricting yourself by saying, we're only going to look in this one demographic or this one location, and you can find that talent if only you open your eyes to it. So again, there's bits and pieces there that may not land well with any individual listening to this, but it's how other people are making it work, and it's policies that people are putting into place. And whether or not I like some of those policies, Thought Machine, Zokio, Roli have fantastic feedback for employee experience. You know, it doesn't take you much to go and Google it online. You will see these three companies have fantastic feedback. So what is interesting is, if I don't think all three work, but the people in those businesses do, they're talking to their people. So if it was one word, I'd say communication. If it was two, I'd say transparent communication. If it was free, just keep talking to your people. That was the main thing.
I think what you talked about there is sort of individualizing, isn't it? Yeah, putting those things together and saying what works for you and committing to it and being authentic. I think authenticity is really important in all of this. And everyone's trying to be all things to all people all the time. And I think, you know, it comes down to saying this is who we are, what we're about. Because, as we were talking about before we came on air, with a ridiculous example of tail wagging dog, there's a scene where not everyone's always going to be happy. It's a really nice thing that a company that has done for their team, and someone's not happy with it and come up with a loophole in it. It's ridiculous. And I think, you know, what you've got to do is say, right, are we doing the best thing? Are we doing it to try and maximize everyone's potential, create the best possible environment and atmosphere for people to thrive? And if you've done that and you're happy with it, recognize that some will love it and maybe one or two won't.
And I really that really resonates with me, because being at Money 2020 this week, there are a number of examples I heard of people walking out of rooms, but the whole place being set up, say, if this doesn't work for you, that's fine, you leave this room, because there's more stages and there's more rooms that will be relevant to you. And, you know, the exchange, which was the room that we were in and that I was moderating in, no one left our session when they were told to put their phones away. But the whole setup, as Scarlett Sieber said, the whole setup was to give people options, but to really stay true to what you've decided to do within your space, if you've decided that that's the best way forward. And what she wanted for our space was openness, people to feel safe to share things that they didn't want people reporting on, and for 100% concentration, which I said to her in the podcast, I believe she achieved that.
Yeah, mission accomplished. Tell me one thing. I've been fascinated this week talking to a lot of people about the market. So a lot of macroeconomic headwinds. Jamie Dimon coming and talk about this in every podcast I'm doing at the moment, but talking about an economic hurricane, et cetera, et cetera. But there remains a sort of optimism, enthusiasm, and almost leaning into the situation from people I'm talking to in the marketplace at the moment. Obviously, my job is to make sure we're looking at that and acting accordingly and having the strategies to weather storms or attack, play on the offense rather than the defense at various different stages. This week for me has been all about optimism and people, you know, talking with real passion and excitement about where the opportunities in the market are, how we know stuff's coming, but you can react to it. Good companies always being able to, you know, not only weather storms, but thrive in them at the same sort of stage. Talk to me about the temperature check of Money 2020 and, you know, what the general view was out there.
really, really so pertinent right now, because a lot of people said the same thing to me when they asked me, you know, what were you speaking on? Who are you moderating? I said, the Great Resignation. They all said, well, yeah, but, you know, we don't have the Great Resignation like hospitality does, like the educational sector does. Like, you know, they reeled off a number of different sectors. And actually, I think the general feeling was of positivity, but also of privilege, that we are working within a marketplace that is still moving forward and is essential to our economy. It's not necessarily something that's on the peripheral that people won't decide to be a part of. And actually, all the funding that's gone into the space, that funding is for solutions that will take away largely from traditional methods of finance. But it's not that people are choosing to be those types of consumers. It's about opening the doors to allowing them to being those types of consumers, and actually opening the doors to the masses. So there was, I don't want to use the word lucky. I don't believe, you know, I don't believe in luck. I think you build your own luck. But there was this sort of feeling of, phew, we're in a good sector here. We've got to make sure that we recognize that privilege and really stand up to it. Please don't think that I'm, or anybody I spoke to, are ignoring the, you know, the macroeconomic situation that we're all in at the moment. But as I've said before, fintech is in this little bubble where we will get hit, but we are still able to move forward, and there's still so many good things that are happening. And let me give you some examples. So part of my job, as you know, Toby, but people listening may not know, is that I go out and introduce Harrington Star to different businesses to see what we can do to help them grow across the board. And it's constantly looking at, where are the vacancies? Where are your pain points? What are the hardest positions that you've got to fill? And how can we help you on them? And of course, I'm counting that up day in, day out. In this week alone, the amount of vacancies that have been shared directly with me has superseded last month's and the months before in one week.
Yeah, it's so phenomenal, isn't it?
It's interesting. But I think what the reason for that is, it's not suddenly that there's more vacancies. It's actually that these are the vacancies that are out there in financial technology, and those companies are struggling to find a solution. So they've come to us to help them with the solution. They've been trying to find that solution themselves. So it's not suddenly even more vacancies. I think it's that there is a struggle to actually get these filled, because on the one hand, you read in the media, skill shortages, talent gaps, all of this. On the other hand, we've got a plethora of clientele who are looking for experienced hires. And this takes me back to my mission, my purpose of, we need to build experience into hires. We need to invest in people. We need to look at skills that can be transferred.
It's two elements. There's that, and there's also making sure people are set up to hire. So I've had a couple of really interesting meetings this week with businesses who are very keen to hire, who are coming to us and saying, look, what do we need to do better? You know, that hasn't happened in 2 decades of doing this job before, to the level it has at the moment. Where people saying that we want to bring people on, we want to be the best we can possibly get, we want to get the best people, we're struggling at the moment, what do we need to do? How can you help us on that journey? And that might be flexibility, that might be, you know, salaries which have moved on from that, that might be the interview process which we're looking at. And it was probably a bit of all three with both of those businesses who I've been talking to this week. But the fact is there's unwavering ambition to make sure that when we're here and you know, I did a brilliant podcast yesterday, which I always enjoy doing, with Mark Beeson over at Illuminate Financial, running a venture fund. And he talked about it not being all doom and gloom. And right now in financial services, we've got three generational opportunities all coming together at the same time: ESG, cloud, DeFi. And I think you can probably put about, you know, 10 other areas there of growth right now in terms of regulation, in terms of all sorts of other areas, you know, the evolution of the pure retail and B2C and digital side of things that we're looking at. There is a swarm of things here looking for efficiency within financial services. So it is privileged, as you said before, and it is interesting and it is optimistic. Alistair Haynes, another great podcast, both of them, real feel-good podcast yesterday. And this is the thing, yeah, where you're seeing, you know, funds putting out letters to startups saying, look, it's going to be difficult to get money. Make sure you've got your burn rate. Make sure you're thinking about hiring people. But as Alistair said, good companies should always be able to raise money. And there is an enormous amount of opportunity at the moment within that, in his mind, as he was talking about British businesses to really thrive in this era and help scale up businesses to do it. But it will be, both of them were saying, if you're a poor business, you're going to struggle to get investment at the moment and growth. If you're a good business, there's a lot of money there aimed at helping companies grow and solve problems, as long as they are solving genuine business problems in the fields that got growth within them. Now, let's talk about our three questions that we ask every single week. Do you want to go first or shall I?
I'll ask you the questions first. What has been the most exciting thing you've seen this week, Bab?
So excitement-wise is just the scale of opportunity, right now. So I mentioned it before then. Yesterday, I went home buzzing after two people who I love interviewing. I've had them both on the show before. And I really value both Alistair Haynes and Mark Beeston's insight and wisdom. They've both got a lot of experience with it within it. And I just felt that there is a, I came away from both of those conversations saying, this is head down, run on. There is a massive opportunity out there in the marketplace at the moment. We're very, very excited and privileged to be a part of it.
Amazing. Very, very exciting. And what's the best lesson that you've learned this week?
Lesson-wise is that I'm talking to these companies, as I mentioned beforehand as well, who are coming to us and saying, what can we do to be better? And I think, look, there are things here. We're looking to, Kaizen's one of our core values as a business. Kaizen's continuous improvement. It's a Japanese manufacturing principle. Continuous improvement, consistently looking to get better. And I think one of the areas that we can get better, being fully candid on this, is making sure that we are acting as a consigliere all the way through and talking to people more regularly. So communicate. We spoke about that in the context of companies talking to their teams, but the lesson for me is we can help people a lot more just by over communicating through a process and telling them what they can do and being more candid earlier on. About, I think sometimes everyone's very British and polite about saying what they where this company can go, but actually being a little bit more candid about the potential of what needs to happen to allow things to happen would be a lesson for me.
Yeah, great lesson. Lesson for all of us. And who has been your star of the week?
So I've thought long and hard about this because there's been some exceptional performances this week. But I want to give a special shout out to Harry Sopal, who's we've got a particularly difficult position that we're looking to, or set positions which we're looking to fill out of the core area for his market. Harry is a massive shift in, been staying very late, getting involved in it, and really working hard for a client that's got a problem and really needs to solve it. So it's not been the easiest of processes. And I always, I think Harry provides so much to this team and the heartbeat of this business. But the work that he's done with this, I think, has been genuinely world-class in something there where he's gone out of his comfort zone, out of his usual thing to help the business and move it further forward. So, Harry, thank you very much, mate, and well done.
Yes, well done, Harry.
Nads, I think I probably know where this one's going, but tell me what your most exciting thing of the week is.
I had no warning about that room turning red and doing that countdown. I've got...
When you sent the video on the WhatsApp group.
I've got like a 3 second, because that was live when that happened, when I sent that around the WhatsApp group. I was like, what is about to happen here? Super exciting. Let's all just think about our wow factor, because really congratulations to Money 2020. Scarlett Sieber in particular, strategy and growth officer down there, she really, really has achieved so much on that wow factor. It was so exciting. Like in a day when your heart is going, it was really going, because I was just like, wow, I cannot wait to get on that stage. Yeah, really, really exciting.
Fantastic. Talk to me then about the biggest lesson.
Biggest lesson. So on the flight back yesterday, I got quite sort of nostalgic about, the whole event, because I enjoyed it so much and I got to meet so many new people and people that I've met and done some work with over Zoom and people that are now advocating for me. And, I felt really happy that my kind of process for a number of years now has been along the pay it forward concept of, I just keep doing as many good things as I can for other people. It's just really amazing to see that coming back. And it's cyclical and but it's always coming back. It's just, it takes time, and you don't do things to expect it to come back. But when it does, you really value it. So for me, the lesson is, pay it forward does pay back, and it's really rewarding.
Your success, our business, like the sound of it.
Absolutely.
And round it off by telling us who your star of the week is.
Oh, my star of the week. So if I had been able to do the podcast last week and the week before, I would have had this person as well. So this is like a 3-star person right now. And, you know, for me, the minute I landed yesterday, I was like, boom, looked at all my emails. This was one that really, really stood out. So let me just read it out to you. Hi, Nadia, just some feedback for you. Beep was very impressed on speaking with, I'm not going to say his name yet because I'm going to let you guess, but you'll guess it in a second. She said that he really got into the testing world. Instead of trying just to find the right body, he wanted to find what drives the individual, what the tech people are using, really understand the client and their needs. She said he was really enjoyable to talk to and she's excited to see exactly who he puts forward. Apparently he asked all the questions of things that she knew that she needed to tell, but also things that she didn't even think to mention. Great job. Right, who's that about?
Go on, Turkey.
Yes, Stephen Turkington again. Like, I'm super excited about him. So, you know, the reasons why I would have given him it in, you know, the last 3 weeks is that, you know, we've been saying spend more time communicating with our clients, whether they're looking to hire or not. Like, let's talk to them about the areas that we work in. And wow, he has been on my case, you know, wanting to say, who's the right contact here? Who's the right contact there? Like, absolutely fantastic. And he's been leaving a trail of just like happiness, joy, great feedback, great delivery. I couldn't thank him for everything he's doing more. Like, really well done, Stephen.
Good lad. No, I'm delighted for Steve. He's been working really, really hard this year. And yeah, the dividends are coming off spectacularly at the moment. So keep up the good work, mate. Fantastic work. Nads, any final thoughts from you?
No, just excited to see what happens next. Also, a shout out for Finovate Edge CX, customer experience. I am one of the speakers next week on the 16th. Please sign up to it. We'll make sure that we do a link to exactly how you do. If you're a financial institution, you get to sign up for free. So please do join and be part of the conversation. I am talking about talent, customer and consumer. And I'm saying, is it retention, preservation or cultivation? So please join us for it.
Like the sound of that. Now, it's a pleasure as always. Well done on a cracking, I know it was a bit of a whirlwind day for you yesterday, flying out at 4 a.m. and heading back at night, but well worth it. You look like you're buzzing from it, and glad it was a great day. To all of you who've listened today, thank you very, very much. We love having you tune into the show. Please like, rate, review. It allows it to spread further. We're so flattered by how far it's gone all over the world, and we really love you listening. Thanks for tuning in, and we will see you next week. Goodbye from me.
Bye.